struck last week by the shocking story of a six-year-old in Oregon whose death has been labeled a suicide. Some perspective on that story, though. Every year, about four kids out of every half a million under the age of 12 take their own lives. It's only the 14th leading cause of death for children, just below meningitis and anemia. But while every time a young child dies, it is tragic, death from meningitis doesn't leave us questioning ourselves as parents and neighbors. Judith Warner is the author of We've Got Issues, Children and Parents in the Age of Medication. It's an examination of childhood psychiatric disorders and how they're treated. And she's also a writer for our partner, The New York Times. And Dana Perry is with us as well. Her late son, Evan, was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when he was still very young. And after a decade of threatening and also attempting suicide, he took his own life at age 15. His story is documented in the film Boy Interrupted. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Judith, basically the story out of Oregon is that there was a young girl named Samantha. She had a fight with her mother. She was sent to her room. She said she was going to kill herself. And shortly thereafter, she was found unconscious in her crib with one end of a belt tied around the crib bar and the other around her neck. Can you tell us about how common this case is? It is relatively rare when young children take their own lives, isn't it?
It is relatively rare. As you said, it seems to be about four children out of every 500,000 under the age of 12 who commit suicide annually. So it's not at all a very common occurrence. And in this particular case, it isn't clear that the girl actually intended to commit suicide. According to what the parents have said, she was frequently told of the dangers of putting anything around her neck. And you almost wonder, she was angry with her mother. It's such a terrible story. You know, yeah. She was angry with her mother. Did she think, I'm going to do exactly the thing she told me never to do, and then didn't realize what would happen and that it would be final? But, you know, what isn't so very uncommon is that children can, in fact, experience real despair and real depression, even if they don't, these young children don't necessarily, you know, move to the step of committing suicide. Depression occurs in young children. This wasn't acknowledged until relatively recently, but it does occur.
Dana, your late son, Evan, first started talking about suicide, you've said, at the same age that Samantha was, around age 5 or 6. Did you take that seriously?
Yes, we did take it seriously. I had a call from a teacher. Evan had been going near the window at their at this after-school program and talking about wanting to jump out and wanting not to feel anymore. And
What age?
This is age 5 or 6.
Oh my God!
And his behavior had always been troublesome, even before that. But he really started articulating that around that age, and it would not just be wanting to kill himself. He'd say, I want cancer, I want to be homeless, wow. I want AIDS. You know, it seemed to play into a sense of low self-esteem, that he didn't feel worthy of the life that he had.
Judith, one of the reasons people say that suicide is relatively rare among the very young is that often the usual triggers for suicide, things like drug use or clinical depression, don't often hit until puberty. Is that true?
That makes a lot of sense, certainly. And it may well be that there's an awareness of cause and effect that doesn't entirely kick in until later on. I mean, certainly, though, I mean, Evan's story is so powerfully portrayed in Dana's film, Boy Interrupted. You know, for some children, the awareness is there and the degree of pain is there from a very, very early age.
You know, Dana, I'm really struck by your story, and as you describe the details of your son Evan, it's very, very distinct from my experience. But nevertheless, I've got two dramatic daughters. They're 11 years old. I mean, I've heard them both on a couple of occasions in moments of extreme frustration say, I want to die, or I wish I wasn't here. And it just shuts you down as a parent. I mean, describe how unreachable Evan must have felt.
Well, unreachable is the perfect word for it. I mean, I think we need to draw a distinction between, oh, you can't go to the prom, I'm going to kill myself, dramatics acting out, and I don't want to exist. I don't want to be here because my soul is so infected by, I'm extrapolating. But, it's the most shocking thing that you can imagine, and yet it is very real. I mean, I think part of what we're talking about here is depression real for such a young child? And I can absolutely 100% attest to, yes, it is very real and needs to be taken very seriously.
Judith, how does a parent distinguish between those things, between a child being dramatic and saying something to get the maximum effect and a kid who's actually suffering from depression?
What psychiatrists look for when they make diagnoses is impairment and also the presence of symptoms over time. You know, again, in Evan's case, Nathan describes that she saw something was off from a very, very early age. You know, it isn't just the explosive moment where you do something they don't like and, you know, they lash out at you saying, I just want to kill myself. I mean, it's not those kind of dramatic. That's the confusion there so often is around children's mental health issues, is that people think, well, all kids have ups and downs. It's just normal. You know, why make such a big deal out of what some kids are going through? It must be exaggerated. There is a real difference of kind between children, let's say, who have depression or bipolar disorder and children who are just experiencing the ups and downs of life. These symptoms get in the way of their being able to live a normal life.
Dana, what would you say if you have a parent maybe across the country that maybe going through this exact same thing, what would you say to them?
I think at this point I would say take your child seriously. I mean, again, it is a challenge to distinguish between, you know, the normal behavior. But it becomes a question of extremes. So, you know, if all adolescents or all children are slightly bipolar to begin with, we have to look at the lengths, extremes in their description and their, you know, verbal communication as warning signals. But I say take it seriously because you just can't afford to take the risk. The other thing I always try to say that even though my particular film and my particular life and story has a terribly tragic ending, that doesn't mean that kids, adults, at any age, cannot live with, you know, bipolar disorder. It's treatable. You can find the right medication. In a nutshell, what happened to us is Evan was doing so well, we agreed to cut his medication along with his doctor. He was dead 6 weeks later.
Dana Perry, mother of a son who with bipolar disorder who killed himself, and Judith Warner, author of Perfect Madness, Mother in the Age of Anxiety. I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.